Watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. It goes on. This is the what we covered last week, verse 7. This is John 10, verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And this is verse 11. This is new. So he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I want you to think for a moment here. Is Jesus as our shepherd? And I would tell you this might be the most beautiful of the I am passages there are. And when you think of Jesus, when you think of Jesus as our shepherd, this conjures up images of comfort, and courage, and concern. To truly understand how beautiful this passage is, though, you have to begin with the understanding that we are sheep. We are sheep. So let's talk about sheep. I've never had sheep, and from what I've read, don't think I want them. And what I was reading, did you know how dirty sheep are? I mean, because we think of them as fluffy, woolly, white things, like little cotton balls out there. You know, cute. They're so cute. And what I was reading up, sheep can be just as dirty and nasty and stinky as pigs. You know, we think of pigs. Pigs are nasty. You know, but at least when a pig is out there, and you know, in the pen, and it rains, you know, it can kind of get cleaned off. It just makes a sheep all that much more nasty. I mean, it rolls around in the mud. It's in other stuff, and it's nasty, and it sticks in that wool. And they say when you shear a sheep, it stinks to high heaven. It's the nastiest thing you ever do. That's what they say. Never done it. Don't want to. Sheep are dirty. Sheep are defenseless. We talked about that last week. How defenseless sheep are. They have no fangs. They have no claws. They're not fast. If danger comes, they can't fly away. They can't spray you like a skunk. They can't sting you like a bee. They're useless. They just can't do anything. They're defenseless little helpless creatures. And they are very dependent on their keeper, their shepherd. What I read here, sheep require more attention than any other domestic animal. Because if you know when their wool gets, you know, it's all heavy and they get weighted down and the sheep falls over, can't get back up. Did you know that sheep can't get themselves back up when they're full of wool? And shepherding is the most demanding job that requires diligence and patience. It says in Psalm 121, "The Lord who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps." You know why? Because we're sheep. And it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of supervision, a lot of care to take care of the sheep. We're just like these sheep, very dependent. And sheep are dumb. It was fun reading a bunch of stories. I don't think I could do the stories justice because I've never had sheep. But you read some stories of people who've taken care of sheep, and one particular, a young guy, he's a city guy, and he moved to Minnesota. He's a minister out in Minnesota. And there was some sheep farmers out there, and he either invited himself or he got invited to go along with these guys when it came time to shear the sheep. So he's out there, and a bunch of guys are trying to get the sheep where they're supposed to go. They got a little chute, and they're supposed to go in one at a time. Well, they'll go in two at a time, three at a time. They get stuck. So then they got to pull them out, so they only go in one at a time. He said one of them threw themselves backwards, And they sent this little young minister to go, you know, get him back up on his feet. And he said he spent 45 minutes trying to get that sheep back up. So, I mean, they're dumb. Sheep are dumb. They're timid. They're fearful. They're stupid. They're vulnerable. They're gullible. They have no means of defense. They're easily killed. They're not very fast. They lack discernment. They're stubborn. They're most needy of the livestock. They will drink dirty water when there's fresh water there. They will eat poisonous plants when there's good plants there. They require a lot of attention. Is it any wonder that you can't find a school out there, I don't think, that has a sheep as a mascot? It's just, you know, the mighty sheep. No, you're not. And the Bible says, we are sheep. It's probably the most insulting thing the Bible can say about us. And we think, oh, the Bible says we're cute little white fluffy things. No, that's not what it's, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us, like a sheep, we've wandered away. We've wandered off. Here our shepherd is talking to us. Our shepherd is guiding us. Our shepherd is trying to protect us. And we just keep wandering away, doing our own thing, getting ourselves in trouble, and possibly getting ourselves killed because we will not listen to the shepherd. Jesus uses the word here 13 times, describing his followers as sheep. So we talk about the bad. Now, there are good things about sheep. The good here is the sheep do listen to the shepherd. The sheep listen to his voice is what it says in verse 3. And they follow the shepherd. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. So the sheep are supposed to listen to the shepherd. The sheep are supposed to follow the shepherd. And it also says they will not follow a stranger. Stranger danger. No, sheep, they're timid, they're scared. If they don't know you, if they don't know your voice, they're not going to come near you. What it says in verse 5, they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. See, sheep aren't, they're not so bright, but they do trust the shepherd. Which leads to my first question that I want you to think about here, you sheep. You've got to ask, who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? Do you know his voice? Are you following Jesus? Are you following another shepherd that you shouldn't be following? Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Which he says this right after verse 10, a very famous verse, John 10 verse 10, where he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Right after that, he says, I am. Once again, that's a statement of divinity. I am. And the Jewish people knew this. And when he says, I am, they knew he's saying that he is God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And the good news, this is good news for sheep. Sheep who are dirty and dumb and defenseless. I found this out. Sheep weren't raised for meat, necessarily. I mean, yeah, that's like a byproduct. But typically, they were raised for their wool. The bread and butter for a shepherd is the wool. So that's, you know, the shepherd wanted to protect his sheep because the more sheep he had, the more wool he could harvest, and the better off he would be. But they were also used for the temple sacrifices. The Bible says the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And that's why they had temple sacrifices, because the people knew. They were born and raised to know that the way to deal with their sins is through blood. You got to have blood. Where are you going to get that blood? Well, they got the blood from animals, which was a poor substitute, but it was a substitute that God provided, and that's why a lot of sheep got killed. And here, Jesus willfully, obediently, voluntarily, sacrificially, he says, take my blood. He becomes the sacrifice for our sins. It was said in Hebrews 9, verse 26, but now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. You know, sheep blood was used, but it wasn't good enough. He says, here, take my blood. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus came to be the atoning sacrifice. He came to lay down his life for us. That's what the good shepherd came to do, to lay down his life for us so that we can have life and have it to the full. He became the atoning sacrifice. It says once again, 1 John 4, verse 10, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He sent his son to lay down his life so that we could be forgiven. Now, here's what's so important for us to understand here. The shepherd, the good shepherd, became the lamb. John the Baptist, in John chapter 1, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb, the good shepherd, he's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. He takes away our sins. And in Revelation chapter 5, this is what it says, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And he came, he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on earth. And then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and then 10,000 times 10,000. Then they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. The good shepherd became the Lamb. That's powerful stuff. That is awesome stuff, if you understand what's going on here. But now the story goes on, and this is what the part that really caught my attention this week. In John chapter 10, this is what Jesus says. John 10, verse 12, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. Now, why is Jesus talking about this? This hired hand. These hired hands who are supposed to be taking care of the sheep, but they're not taking care of the sheep. They don't care about the sheep. And I'm thinking that Jesus is talking about this because there was Pharisees there watching him, listening to him. And these are the very Pharisees. We talked about them last week. These are the robbers. These are the thieves. These are the hirelings who aren't, they're not doing their job. And he's contrasting himself, the good shepherd, with the Pharisees, these hirelings. And this is what he says about them. This is what's bad about the hirelings. The hirelings, they don't own the sheep. They're not invested. They have no investment in the sheep. So are they going to take care of the sheep like the shepherd's going to take care of the sheep? And when danger comes, the hireling will abandon the sheep. You know, they're going to run away at the first sign of danger. Which means the sheep, they're going to get scattered and they're going to get picked off and they're going to get destroyed. The hireling does not care about the sheep. What's the hireling care about? The hireling cares about self-preservation. You know, when David was a shepherd, a lion came, he killed the lion. A bear came, he killed the bear. These guys, you know, a lion or a bear or a wolf comes, they're going to run away. It's not their problem. They don't care. The hireling, what does the hireling care about? The hireling cares about getting a paycheck. Just give me my money. Give me my day's wages. And the Bible has a lot to say, especially the Old Testament, has a lot to say about bad shepherds. And I thought this would be important to go through some of this stuff. These bad shepherds here, it says in Isaiah 56, verse 10, Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They're mute dogs. You know, they're supposed to be watchdogs. They're supposed to sound the alarm. Something's coming. Danger's coming. They're supposed to let everybody know danger is coming, but they're mute. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream, and they love to sleep. They're sleeping on the job. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way. Each seeks his own gain. See, they're just doing it for the paycheck. They can't see. They don't understand the dangers that are out there. They're oblivious to it. They're out there daydreaming. They're sleeping on the job. Jeremiah 10 verse 21 says this: the shepherds are senseless. The shepherds are senseless. You know, you think the sheep are bad? Well, what about the shepherds here? They're senseless. They do not inquire of the Lord, so they do not prosper, and all their flocks are scattered. They don't seek God, and the sheep pay the price for that. Jeremiah 23, verse 1, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people, because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord." Once again, they don't care about the sheep. They don't care. Jeremiah 50, verse 6, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray." Ezekiel 34, verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves." Should not the shepherds take care of the flock? I mean, isn't that what you're there for? Isn't that what you're supposed to? Isn't that your job? But you're not doing your job. You only care about yourself. Goes on, verse 3, "You eat the curds and clothe yourself with wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." Verse 4, you have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. I go down to verse 9 here. It says, "Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says: I'm against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves." So I'm trying to paint a picture here of bad shepherds and what these bad shepherds are. They're there, but they don't care. They quit sounding the alarm when danger comes. They're not paying attention. When there's danger out there, when the sheep are vulnerable, they're not telling anybody. They're not doing anything to protect the sheep. They no longer seek the wisdom of God, but they're turning to popular psychology and the wisdom of man. They're not leading their flock to God. They're seeking personal gain. They're living a life of luxury and comfort while the flock is suffering. They say they'll be there for you, but when the wolves come, they disappear. They're hirelings. But now the good news here, this is what it says in Jeremiah 3, verse 15. The good news here: I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will lead. They'll lead you with knowledge and understanding. See, this is what Jeremiah prophesied. Yeah, there are bad shepherds out there. There are bad shepherds who aren't doing their job. And I'm thinking he's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about the Sadducees. He's talking about religious leaders. But he says, "But the day is coming, I'm going to send you shepherds who know my will. They know my heart." And what I want you to see here, the good shepherd became the lamb. And what I see throughout the New Testament is Jesus is calling the sheep to become good shepherds. Oh, we'll never be a good shepherd like the good shepherd. But if we would listen, if we would follow, if we would know his heart. Listen to John chapter 21. This is when Jesus is talking to Peter. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Well, yes, Lord," he said. "You know I love you." And what did Jesus say to do? "Then feed my sheep." And again, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Then take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. You become a shepherd. Why should you become a shepherd? Because you love Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. Then take care of his sheep. We take care of the sheep because we're motivated by our love for the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He loves us, and we take care of what he loves. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, to the elders at Ephesus, he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So to the elders, be shepherds. Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. The word pastor is poimen in Greek, and that word is translated often as shepherd. Be a pastor, be a shepherd. You know what the word pastor means? The word pastor means shepherd. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 and 2. To the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, not for personal gain, and I would say, and not for prestige, and not for power, not for a title, but be eager to serve because you love Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Do it. You're motivated out of love. And because you love Jesus, be an example to the flock. And I got a couple other verses here. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. I don't have this up on the board, but you know this one. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are a chosen. This is not just written to the old people in the church who, you know, the three or four guys who are to lead the church. This is like, if you are a Christian and you love Jesus, then join us and let's start shepherding the sheep, because the sheep need some shepherding. And so you are a sheep and you are a shepherd. Does that make sense? Is that weird? Because how does that happen? It happens because we love Jesus. And we love what he loves. The first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is like it, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we love Jesus and we love our neighbor, this should happen naturally, where we're taking care of each other. We are a chosen people. It's Revelation 10, where I talk that Jesus became the Lamb, and the angels started singing. Well, there in that same passage, it says in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, you have made them be a kingdom and a priest to serve our God. That's what Jesus has called you to do. He has saved you, and now we are his priests, we are his shepherds. And here's the quick guy. I was very mindful of Art and Kyle and Gary and myself and anybody else who's ever served as an elder. As I was preparing a sermon, encouraging us, let's not be bad shepherds. Let's not be hirelings. Let's care about the people that God has entrusted to us. Let's lead them in the ways of God. Let's be as best as we can be. Let's be the shepherds that God wants us to be. He wants us to be good shepherds. Not that we will ever be good like Jesus, but if we follow him, if we listen to him, then we can lead his people into relationship. We can protect his people. But this should not just be for Art and Kyle and Gary and myself or anybody else who's been an elder. This is for anybody who, if you call yourself a Christian, I want to challenge you. Make this the goal to lead God's people. So a couple questions. Are we feeding the sheep? Here's a thought. Be a Sunday school teacher. Help out with the children. Help out with teenagers. Lead a small group in your home. A family member, a neighbor. Feed them the Word of God. Because people are starving for the Word of God in our world today. People are so malnourished, is that the right word? People are dying because they don't know the Word of God. And you know the Word of God. I hope you know the Word of God. I'm working hard for us all to know the Word of God. And we go to Sunday school. We go to small groups. We get Sunday morning so that we can know the Word of God so we can help other people know the Word of God. Are you feeding people the Word of God? And are you leading people into the presence of God by your lifestyle, by your concern, by your care for them, by your words? Are you leading people into the presence of God? Shepherds lead sheep, right? They don't necessarily drive the sheep. They lead the sheep. It's not that we push people, but we lead people. We lead people by our example, right? I read this here. A tour guide was leading his party in Israel when they came upon a man driving a flock of sheep forward from behind. He was driving the sheep from behind. And he found this odd since he knew shepherds in the Middle East, they lead their sheep by calling to them. And he asked this man, how is it that you are driving your sheep instead of leading your sheep? He says, I've always been told shepherds lead their sheep. And the man said, I'm not a shepherd. I'm a butcher. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. We are to lead. And how do you lead? You lead by your example. Are you setting a good example? Do you understand how important it is that we be a holy people so that people can know a holy God? And if we're not so holy, we're not going to help anybody else discover a holy God. Matter of fact, they're going to look at us like we're hypocrites. And they're going to look at us like we're bad shepherds. And they're not going to want anything to do with our God. They're going to find another shepherd. This is why it's so important. So are we feeding? Are we leading? Are we caring for one another? Do we love one another? Are we looking out for each other? Because of our love for Jesus. Jesus, do you love me? I mean, I know he said that to Peter, but can you hear him saying it to you? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. Then take care of my sheep. Because they need somebody to take care of them. They need somebody to feed them. And I'm just challenging to think, is Jesus talking to you? Could he be talking to you? Are we feeding them? Are we leading them? Are we caring for them? Are we loving them? Are we looking out for each other? Or are we just scattering the sheep and destroying the flock and abandoning them when trouble comes, when life gets too busy, when we just don't feel like it? Jesus is the good shepherd, and he became the lamb. And we are sheep. But he's calling us to be shepherds, which we do by listening and following Jesus and by caring for the ones he cares about and seeking the lost that he wants to go after. All right, the back page here, the good shepherd. Let's focus once again on who Jesus is, what Jesus says. This is what it says in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He goes on in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Once again, it's like I am. I am. I and the Father are one. And when I look at this, just a couple things I want you to say, want us to think about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, first of all, to think about this, that he owns us. We are the sheep of his flock. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I think that's awesome. Not only did he create me, he redeemed me. And he died for me. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We were bought with a price. This past Wednesday night, we were doing a study here on the on freedom, what freedom was, and the word doulos in the Greek is a word that can be translated as slave, but it can also be translated as servant. And often, when you look in our New Testament, in our English New Testament, often that word has been translated as servant, where before it, maybe a better translation would be slave, but they used the word servant because mainly because of the slave trade that was going on, and it was a very sensitive thing. So they didn't want to use the word slave. So we had a good discussion about that. How do you feel about being a slave of Jesus Christ versus being a servant of Jesus Christ? Does one hit you one way versus the other? You know, I like the term servant because, you know, servant means it almost implies, you know, I can. If things don't work out, then maybe I won't say committed, you know. But slave, I mean, that's forever. Slave is forever. So we talked a little bit about that. And Stephanie was in the class. Stephanie didn't say anything during class, but later on we went home, and she says, you know, I really like the word slave. For her, and talking about her and her relationship with Jesus Christ, because it means he owns me. And she said, and I find a lot of comfort in that. And I thought that was pretty profound. We are slaves of Jesus Christ. He owns us. We live for him. We work for him. And that's a good place to be. That's a good place to be. Jesus owns us. And he speaks to us. Can you hear him talking to you? Can you hear him calling out your name? Are we listening? I think he speaks to us all the time. My fear is we have become deaf, we've become self-absorbed, we've become busy, we're not paying attention. It's not his fault, it's our fault. He's talking to us all the time. Are we listening? And the Bible says he knows us. It says in verse 4, he knows us. Verse 14, he knows us. He calls us by name. He wants to have a relationship with us. And with his sheep, he has a relationship with them. So I go back, does he have a relationship with you? Does he know you? Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? The good shepherd leads us. He gives us direction. Are we following him? Are we following him? Verse 4 says, he goes before us. What image comes to your mind when you think about that? That Jesus goes before you. Especially when you think of yourself as a sheep. And the world is a scary place out there. But Jesus goes before you. That gives me protection. If Jesus is there, that means the devil can't be there. Can't be any wolf out there. Can't be any lion out there because Jesus is there. That's safe. It's a safe place. I follow Jesus. I will go where Jesus is. So there's protection and there's assurance. There's assurance. He goes before. And think about this. Where did Jesus, what's the greatest thing you can think about where Jesus went before you that gives you assurance, that gives you protection? He died. He beat death so that we can, that's where he went before we did, so that we know we can beat death too. Our shepherd has already been there. He's already conquered that. We're good. We're good. He went before us, and he laid down his life for us, willfully, voluntarily, sacrificially, so that we could have peace with God. Was it verse 18? No one took his life from him. He says, I lay it down on my own accord. It wasn't Judas's decision to take Jesus' life. It wasn't Caiaphas's decision. It wasn't Pilate's decision to take Jesus' life. He laid it down on his own accord. He did it because he loves you. He laid down his life for you, and he gives us eternal life. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Not when we know the shepherd, not when we trust the shepherd, when we listen to the shepherd, when we're following the shepherd, nobody can touch you. Nobody can touch you. He says, I and the Father are one. I am the good shepherd. And I want to ask you, is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? If you're not listening to him, if you're not following him, then you're following somebody, something else. And there's no protection there. There's no assurance there. There's no joy there. Is Jesus your shepherd? Have you embraced him as your shepherd? Are you listening to him? Are you following him? Let me close with Psalm 23. Think about these words once again. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. I am his, he is mine. That's a wonderful thing. I shall not be in want. You know why? Because he's my provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He's my peace. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's my righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is my comforter. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You are my protector. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You are my joy. And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You are my salvation. You are my shepherd. The good shepherd. Is he your shepherd?